All right, let's do a recap and cover the ground that we've already covered, because in doing that, you're going to realize that you actually now have a process. We're going to add the last step to the process in this segment, but it's very important to know that you have a process, and if you follow the process, you're going to get way better results than if you don't. First step of the process is kind of simple, but it's very important. It's to realize that naming your company right, naming your product right, is a big issue. It's not something you do in 10 minutes. It's not something you just pull out of thin air and, okay, let's slap a name on it and get going. When you get it right, you've got an amazing asset. When you don't get it right, you've got a big problem. So why not get it right? And to take it even further, why not be ambitious? Why not have as your goal a $1 million name? Or a $10 million name, or a $100 million name. The unconscious mind, which we talked about in a previous segment, it likes drama. It likes challenges. It likes exciting stuff. So why not give it an exciting goal? So why not sit down and say to yourself, okay, I'm going to develop a $1 million name for this company or this product. And this is where people go wrong. They don't realize how important names are. They don't set an ambitious, exciting goal, and they just sort of wing it. So already, if you know not to do that, you're way ahead. But you also have some other skills that other people do not have. Number one, you realize that this is a process. It's a partnership process with your unconscious mind. You fill your mind, your unconscious mind, with all kinds of positive ideas and thoughts and reflections and ruminations about who you are and what you stand for and where you fit into the marketplace and what problems you solve and all these things, plus your ambition to have a really great name. You do all the conscious work you can, and then you trust that your bigger mind, the unconscious mind, the one that keeps you breathing and keeps your heart pumping and keeps your blood at the right chemical levels and does all these million and one things, that it's going to work on the process for you. This is really how creativity is generated. Number one, conscious work. Number two, working with and having faith in and having a partnership with your unconscious mind. We gave an example of four different names, business names, and how they were developed, from facing the market problem to working step by step all the way through to coming up with a winning name. And that's a very good segment. It's kind of long, but it's really worth reviewing. Because the reason people don't teach how to name businesses is that it's complete customization, right? There's no cookie cutter here at all. By definition, cookie cutter solutions are impossible when it comes to naming a company. You really have to think, you really have to dig deep. And so we've worked on that process by examining the four different names and how they were developed in response to specific market conditions. And the process there is two parts. Number one is to have a very clear idea of your mission. You know, why are you in business? Why is this product coming to market? And then number two, having a very clear idea of the mind of the market. The prospects that you're going for, how do they look at the world? How do they look at this market? How do they look at the other market players? And what piece of that market do you want to own? And that's a very important point. And if you missed that, or if that didn't stick with you, it's really worth reviewing. Positioning is not just about, okay, how do we define ourselves? No. Positioning is about, there is a file cabinet of the mind. It has room for an infinite number of folders, but there can only be one piece of paper for each folder. Which folder in that file cabinet do we want to own? That's very different than just saying we're going to define ourselves and put ourselves out there. No, this starts with a very meticulous analysis of the mind of the market, knowing who's already in it, knowing what people like, what people don't like, what people are afraid of, what people are hoping about, and figuring out where your product, where your business fits most profitably. That's the other part of this, is you want to win valuable territory. You don't want to win the swamp. You want to win the mountaintop. So the positioning part is big. It's really, really big. You cannot come up, well, maybe you could get lucky and come up with a great name without going through this process. But if you work through the positioning, you're going to find the naming comes a lot easier. All right, so let's look now. Now that we've done the part where we understand how important this is, we've set a high goal, we understand that we're going to be working with our unconscious mind in a partnership, we've looked at a number of successful names and how they were developed, we've talked about the importance of having a mission, we've talked about how to position your business and your product, which is the most important thing. Now let's talk about what becomes relatively easy, which is coming up with the name. If you've done all these things, your job is much, much easier. All right, how do you know when you've got a good name? Couple of qualities to a good name. They seem very simple, but they become very important as time rolls on. You know, that may be another reason why people have trouble with this, is they can't see into the future and envision all the different ways the name is going to be used. So they just grab anything. And then it comes back to haunt them over and over and over again. So part of this is just to have an imagination and to realize your name is going to be used in 1,001 different applications. So we want to make it as easy to use as possible. So number one, and this is going to sound nuts because it's so simple, but how many people fail with this? Make it easy to spell. Okay, because a lot of the communication about your business or about your product is going to be vocal. It's going to be audio. It might be an audio tape. It might be a video presentation. It might be pitching somebody, you know, the famous elevator pitch, pitching somebody an elevator. It might be being on stage and talking to hundreds of people. If you throw out a name and people can't instantly visualize how to spell it, you've got a problem. And you've got a problem that's going to haunt you over and over and over again. So make sure it's easy to spell. Make sure it's easy to say. And make sure the spelling and the pronunciation are in alignment. There's nothing worse than having a weird name and everybody's asking you, how do you say it? Or they're mispronouncing it. This is a completely preventable problem. Yet you see company after company fail on this. So make sure that it sounds the way it spells, and it spells the way it sounds. And that it's easy to say, that it rolls off the tongue, that it's not a tongue twister, or that it's not something that you say and, you know, it doesn't resonate in any way. If you do all these things, your name will be easy to remember. And that's a big part of this. You know your business name. Your employees know your business name. Your regular customers who do business with you every day, or every week, or every month, know your business name. But the money is in the prospects and the people that don't know you. It's in reaching those people. It's in communicating with those people. And this is a very underestimated part of marketing. Most people are interested and focus on the fireworks of marketing. You know, the great headlines and the great offers, and all those things are very important. But we already know in advance that not everyone is going to buy from you the first time. We just have to live with that. And the internet has made it much easier to do follow-up and get those customers down the line. But if people don't remember you, if you have to remind them of who you are and all that, it's just a lot of wasted energy and a lot of wasted time. So make sure the name is easy to say, easy to spell. The spelling and the saying are in alignment, and this makes it easy to remember. There's another quality that you want to look for in your business name, that it looks good. Put it on a page in big type and look at it. Does it look good? Does it feel good? You know, a lot of this is kind of in the instinct and the feeling realm. You know, that I can't give you an app. I can't give you a formula. I can't give you, you know, a measuring stick. I can't give you a piece of software to analyze a name. So you have to go with your own instinct at a certain point. But one of the things you want to think about is, does it just look good? And finally, does it sound like a business, or does it sound like a product that somebody would want to have, or does it sound like a fad, or something that sounds like 20 other related businesses. If you look at the names that I came up with over the years, Optimal Learning, eMedia, Marketing Solutions for Mortgage Investors, The System Seminar, each one of those names broadcast to the world what it was all about, but it also broadcast to the world this sort of feeling of a business that had been around forever. You know, Optimal Learning. Again, I don't know how to give you an objective yardstick for measuring a name, but when I called on prospects and when I talked to prospects and I said our company is called Optimal Learning, it projected something very positive about the business, our seriousness, what our focus was, what our place was in the marketplace. Same thing with eMedia. You know, we sounded, even though it was just, you know, for a long time, it was just me and a desktop computer and a very slow modem trying to figure it all out. But when I was out in the world and giving talks and putting on conferences and pitching sponsors and all the things that I did, suddenly I'm with eMedia. It just sounded like something that was real. So make sure that it not only looks good, sounds good, easy to say, easy to remember, but it also projects well. It sounds substantial. It sounds real. Now, I said I was going to talk about nonsense names, names that don't mean anything, like Yahoo, like Google. First of all, let's point out that Facebook has an absolutely descriptive, plain vanilla name, right? They originally started out as an electronic version, an interactive online version of the college Facebook. So they called themselves, well, they originally called themselves the Facebook. And as often happens with names, you drop the extraneous. So for instance, when I was marketing solutions for mortgage investors, even though that was our formal name and we used it on our letterhead, we often just dropped it down to marketing solutions. But the point is, it's simply not true that in the digital world, goofy names are the winner. How about Salesforce.com? That's not necessarily the greatest name in the world, but it's not a bad name, and it projects what the heck they're doing and what group they want to serve and what space they're in and what their intentions are. And yet, you still have the Googles of the world and the Yahoos of the world. Notice two things about those names. Two syllables, and they look visually interesting and unconfusing. Like when you see Yahoo going on the criteria that I set before, you know exactly how to pronounce it. It's probably been years since you saw Yahoo for the first time, but I can pretty much guarantee the first time you saw Yahoo, you didn't have to go to a dictionary and you didn't have to ask anybody. You didn't know what it meant, but two syllables looked interesting, and the way it was spelled was the way it was spelled is the way it was spelled. Same thing with Google. Now, Google actually had a meaning embedded in it that only a mathematician would understand. A Google is a quantity, a very large quantity. And of course, they're in the business of dealing with very large quantities of data. But that didn't really help them very much. But what did help them was, even though the saying and the spelling was not necessarily automatic the way it was with Yahoo, once you saw it, you got it. Google. Okay, I get it. I know how to spell that. Easy to say. Easy to remember. You know, everybody wants to be viral. And sometimes people get the mistaken impression that, oh, if I have got a weird and wacky name, I'm going to be viral, just like Yahoo and Google. Well, you better study Yahoo and Google and figure out why those names were viral. And then look at the 10,000 Silicon Valley generated business names that people thought were groovy and cool and have 3-4 syllables, are unspellable, unpronounceable, unmemorable, and realize that it's not just a matter of making up some nonsense name. I have a preference. I think if, you know, especially since, you know, I don't think anybody listening to this call is expecting to go into competition with Google or Yahoo or Facebook or some mega corporation that employs tens of thousands of people and turns over billions of dollars a year. You're a niche marketer. There's a particular group of people that you want to hit, and you want to hit them with great precision. I think my prejudice is, my bias is, the best way to do that is with a name that's plain, that says what you are and broadcasts what you are to the marketplace, and not to go with a nonsense name. But if you do go with a nonsense name, just keep in mind, keep it to two syllables. make sure that the way it's spelled is the way it sounds, and the way it sounds is the way it's spelled. And make sure it looks good on the page. Going back to this viral issue, everybody wants to be viral. One of the keys to being viral is being memorable. Because if somebody sees what you're doing and is kind of excited about it, but then can't remember it 3 seconds later, that's not going to help. If they can't tell their friend, that's not going to help. Make sure it is viral. Make sure it is simple. Make sure it looks good. Make sure it spells easily. Make sure it sounds easily. One image to have of a name is there's an old-fashioned slang word called handle. You know, sometimes they used it in the CB radios, right? What's your handle? It's used in other contexts too, but it's not something commonly used today, but it's a slang word. It's an old slang word for name. What's your handle? Well, if you think about it, a handle is a really important thing if you've got luggage. I mean, imagine a piece of luggage, forget the rollers, you know, you don't have a roller, you have old style luggage. Imagine if there were a piece of luggage and there's no handle on it. Like, how do you pick it up and carry it away? It's hard. You got to go through a lot more effort. It's the same thing with your business name. Your business name is your handle. Your luggage is your business and the whole concept of your business, the positioning of your business. The word we haven't used yet so far, but could use, your brand, the whole image of who you are and what you do and why you're the superior option, why you're the thing that belongs in the folder, in that specific folder that you've defined and that nobody else should be in. That's your business concept, your business. Your handle is the name of your business. So someone can just bend over, pick it up, and walk away with it, transfer it all over the place, give it to friends, give it to clients, give it to colleagues, and talk it up. So that is the naming part. I have one more piece to share with you, and then I'm going to talk to you about a resource that's included in the course that I strongly recommend that you take advantage of. In writing headlines for sales letters, it's often recommended that you come up with at least 100 headlines. And that sounds hard unless you've taken a good copywriting course. For instance, in the copywriting course that I have, I give you formulas, sort of mechanical formulas for just cranking out 100, 200, 300 different headlines. From those headlines comes the headline, the one that you use. Sometimes the headline is a hit. In other words, you come up with 100 headlines and number 87, just the way you stated it, is the perfect headline. Sometimes it's a mix. You've got 100 headlines and a mix of headline number 32 and headline number 79, when you fold them into each other, becomes an amazing headline. Sometimes you come up with 100 headlines and they're all bad, and the great one pops into your mind later. That's the conscious, unconscious mind process. You've got to go through the hard work. There's really no way around it. You go through the process, the conscious process of coming up with 100 names. Maybe you'll get lucky, and within that 100, there'll be an amazing name. Maybe there'll be a way to mix one or two or more of the names into a single business name. Or maybe they'll all be bad, just as with the case of Think and Grow Rich. He tried. Apparently, the author said he came up with six, Napoleon Hill, said he came up with 600 names. And it wasn't until his back was to the wall and his publisher was telling him, look, you got to come up with a name or I'm putting this garbage name on it. And that pressure stimulated him to come up with a great name. But remember, he had tried consciously to come up with 600. That's the process. That's the process. Now, if you've been paying close attention to what I've been saying during this course, you realize that naming is a thinking game. It's also a game that involves close cooperation between the conscious and unconscious mind. It's a game that involves really in-depth understanding of your business and your product, and really in-depth understanding of the marketplace that you're attempting to go into as it really is. So we're getting rid of fantasy here, and we're really focusing on very accurate thinking. Once you've got that, you can start doing the positioning, going through the positioning process, which we've talked about at great length numerous times. It's from that positioning that you can then start to do the naming. All right, so if you just sit down and try to come up with 100 names for your company and you haven't gone through your positioning, I don't think you're going to get a good result. I think you improve the odds of getting a great result if you go through that positioning thinking. So one of the things that I do with System Club members is once a year, any member can call me and I will work with them on business issues. And I've got 12 slots a year, first come, first serve. You get one a year. And in order for it to be free, no additional charge to System Club members, you have to be willing to let that session be public. So some people prefer to pay me the money and keep it private. Other people, they're happy to save the money and let it be public. So I have done a number of sessions with System Club members, and it always boils down to improving and articulating with greater precision their positioning in their marketplace. Literally 99 times out of 100, whatever business problem they've got, whatever marketing problem they've got, it always boils down to improving the understanding of your positioning. So as a bonus section to this class, we've got a number of these sessions, and they'll be in the next sections coming up, with a brief introduction by me, and then you get to listen in. And you'll get to see in much greater depth than I could ever teach in a step-by-step process. You'll see how we start with this sort of unformed thing, and how bit by bit, turning the wheel around and around and around, we eventually come up with a polished gem. You know, it is very much like taking a raw gemstone and polishing it and cutting it, you know, holding it up to the light, figuring out, okay, what's the best way to cut this particular gemstone? Because remember, this is custom work. There is no template. There is no one size fits all. There is no cookie cutter. Every single one of these things has to be done completely uniquely and completely from scratch, which is what people in the gem business have to do. They find a rock in the ground, they give it to a master gem cutter, and he looks at it and he figures out, okay, how can I make the best possible gemstone from this rock? And there's a lot of study and a lot of calculation and a lot goes into it, but it's always focused on that particular rock. So in these upcoming sessions, which I do encourage you to listen to, because they'll trigger a lot of things in your mind. You'll get to see the process as it actually unfolds in real time. And by the way, with every one of these cases, we're doing it cold. It's not like, you know, somebody's given me a ton of preparation and I've spent hours thinking about what they need for their business. They come to me, they explain it. The first time I'm hearing it is on the call, and then I ask them questions. And in that, it's the questions that are the refining process. And we get closer and closer and closer to getting to the core of their business. And once we get to the core of the business and the core understanding of the marketplace they're in, then we've got a positioning. And from that naming, it's not exactly falling off a log, but it's a whole lot easier than if you do it without that process. So this is Name It Right. It's the course that teaches you how to name your business, how to name your company, how to name your services. And it's a rare skill. Very, very few business people have it. Very, very few marketers have it. You've got it. You've got the process. You know where to begin. You know what step two is. You know what step three is. And by following this process, you have an infinitely better chance of coming up with a great name for your business, for your product, for your service, and having a valuable asset that will serve you 100 times a day, every day that you're in business. If you want to work with me privately on developing a name, just send me an email. It's something that clearly is going to be a fee for it, but if you've actually gone through all this process and you just need a little bit more help and you're a System Club member, definitely let me know, because it's an interesting challenge for me, and I know I can bring a lot to the table. So have the goal of having $1 million name. Realize that you're going into this consciously, enrolling the partnership of your unconscious mind. Realize that the process of coming up with a good name is not just pulling a name from thin air, but getting very clear about you, your business, and the marketplace you're in. And all these insights, all this understanding that you generate from this process is going to be very, very valuable to you. Good luck, and let me know what you come up with. I'd really like to know how this course has helped you.